And now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now, it's the Skippy and Frank Timothy McVeigh Execution Special. If you want a morning radio show to badly bungle the comic aspects of Timothy McVeigh's execution, you've come to the right place. Yes, it's the Skippy and Frank Show. No one does radio comedy worse. And now, Skippy and Frank.
Skippy Frank Show, 6 after the hour. You gotta be someplace, by 9 o'clock. You got like 3 hours and 54 minutes to do it.
Now we're gonna do some big show today.
That's our Timothy McVeigh execution special. You know what we say? Fry McVeigh, that's what we say. Let's get some phone calls going on. How you doing? Welcome to Skippy and Frank.
Yeah, oh, Skippy and Frank.
Yeah.
They're not gonna fry him, man. It's lethal injection.
Yeah, we had that.
Yeah, we got that right. I'm sorry, the computer, the phone call cut off momentarily. Today on the show, what I'm going to do is something a little bit wild. I know a lot of wild things on our show because we really are edgy as we take it way out there. We're edgier. We're the most edgy.
We're edgy.
Yeah, we're edgy. I'm going to strap myself into this electric chair, and then, Frank, you're going to throw that switch right over there.
Yeah, and then you get 10,000 volts.
But the difference is, it's going to be happening right here on the Skippy and Frank Show. The difference is, they're going to send the 10,000 volts right up through my penis.
Yeah, there we go. Got the man from the prison here, too, who's going to do it.
That's right. 10,000 volts are going to go right up through my penis. So you don't want to miss that on the Skippy and Frank Show right now. Let's go out there and have traffic. And, of course, we got Commander Butthole and, with the traffic out there. Brought to you by P-Bluff's Pharmacies. Go ahead.
All right, traffic is looking real good, and we got slow moving to downtown, but I think it's going to be fine later on. And I really hate you guys. I hate being on your show. I hope to God they fire you soon, because we've run through about 5 different morning shows. Oh, God, I hate you. God, I hate you. It's Commander Butthole with traffic on the Skippy and Frank Show.
All right, thanks a lot, Commander Butthole. Butthole. Take another phone call.
Oh, hey, Skippy.
Yeah.
How come you keep calling that guy Butthole, man? His name's Bud Hall. I mean, the joke was funny, like the first show, man. You keep that.
All right, I'm sorry, I lost that call again. I have problems with our phones. It seems that every time somebody calls up who busts on me and bags on me and really makes a good point, I hang up on him. I wonder what that problem with our phones is.
I don't know. You're accidentally hitting the off switch on the phone.
Timmy and Frank Show here. So today, of course, is Timothy McVeigh Friday. It's our big Timothy McVeigh execution special. Hey, look who's called in.
Oh, it's President Bush. President Bush, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay, Skippy and Frank.
I guess you really want to have Timothy McVeigh get a lethal injection.
Yes, I do. I'll take some phone calls from the listeners, too.
Oh, great. We got a phone call right here. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Frank?
Hi, yeah.
How come Skippy's impression of Bush sounds like Clinton? Because
we lost that call.
I lost the caller. All right, that's the time here. We got the man from the prison here, and we're going to strap me into this electric chair. And, Frank, you're going to throw that switch right over there, and then it's going to send 10,000 volts right up my penis. It's going to be fantastic, okay? The man from the prison's here. How you doing? Sit right there.
Yeah, just sit there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Skippy and Frank Show, 10 after the hour. So, what do you think about strapping me to the electric chair and sending 10,000 volts on my penis?
I don't know if you gentlemen are aware that you can get very badly burned and possibly die from this.
We don't give a crap.
No, you don't care. We're the number one morning show in the Lettuce Belt.
Well, that's fine and well, and congratulations for being the number one in the Lettuce Belt. But and I certainly don't want to have to attach this to that thing there between your legs, okay? So your partner's going to have to do it.
Well, go ahead, Frank. You don't mind doing it.
You kidding me? I'm not going to do that.
Go ahead.
Gentlemen, you could hurt someone.
Forget it. Just shut up. How about getting the chair right now?
All right. Skillet music. Okay, Skippy's in the chair now, Skippy, and,
You know, use a little wet sponge?
I'm not going to use it on the thing there.
Okay, put it on there. All right, here we go. Ready?
All right, I'm going to throw the switch.
Yeah!
Okay, Skippy, how you doing?
You know, I feel pretty good. I do.
You look all right.
Yeah. That wasn't bad. I mean, it hurt the first few minutes, but now everything is fine.
Well, I guess it's kind of good for you or something?
Yeah, man, I'd say it's good. As a matter of fact, Frank, I think I want you to sit down in a chair. Go ahead.
No, I don't
want
to do it.
I said to get in a chair.
No, I don't want to.
Get in a chair, man! So what do you think?
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
You like that, don't you?
Yeah. That's wild. I never thought I'd enjoy being electrocuted.
Yeah, it's good.
It is.
How you feeling?
It's cool.
Yes, in case you didn't get that bit, by cooking a guy in the electric chair, he comes out black, which really has no bearing on the McVeigh execution since he's going to get lethal injection. God, you two guys are lame, Skippy and Frank.
I'm Frank.
Yeah, and I'm Skippy.
And you listen to the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I wish I'd never seen Starbucks. Not because they necessarily make bad coffee, but because I drink the caffeinated lattes and haven't slept for 2 days. So thanks very much, Starbucks, for that. I got my eyes like a couple of saucers. They look like a couple of eggs, fried eggs in tomato juice. I haven't slept for 2 days. I don't know who I am or what I am because I've been powering down those lattes. Actually, not even Starbucks, the place downstairs. That little cart downstairs with the guy, very nice guy, the two ladies, very nice.
You want the same thing today?
Yeah, I want the same thing. I'm like a junkie coming around the corner. Yeah, it's me.
Look, here comes Mr. Henry. You want the same thing today?
It's the latte, right? The double latte.
A double?
Yes, it's a double. It's got to broadcast it all over the place.
You sure you want that? No, just make it the double and give it to me and let me out of here.
Double latte. And I mean, last night it's been hot here in the Los Angeles area. I don't know about you guys, but it's been blistering hot around here. Not hot blistering, but hot enough, man. Like it all of it just came on, didn't it? Just in time for the blackouts. You know, we're going to have a blackout season. I tell you what, let's not just have a blackout summer. Let's have a little of it spill into the spring, too, as long as you're just laying all the karma on us, God. Why don't you just make the blackouts start around March? Hot, and of course, we got the lights turned off, and I'm running around. I'm turning lights off. It doesn't do any good. The kids don't understand the concept. You know, I got to answer questions like this. Turn off the lights, kids, because there's a drain on energy. What? What does one little light bulb do? Are you telling me that just when... Well, you just turned the light off. One light bulb? That's going to, like, push a whole city over the brink? I'm sure. Well, turn it off. Well, you won't even tell us when... Yeah, get in there. Get in the closet. You know, and so anyway, last night, I wake up, I'm laying on the floor. I told you about how I have to sleep on the floor because it's so freaking hot, you know. I'm doing things like I'm laying with my head down at the other end of the bed so that Marie and I are like, you know, her head's here, my feet are there. And, you know, it's sometimes, well, don't let your imagination run wild, okay? And trying to breathe. I can't breathe. It just fits everything. And so finally I got up and I said, well, I'll go downstairs and get something to eat. Now, the last time I did that, I ate the Girl Scout cookies. This time I'm not going to go near those. No, what did I do? This time made myself two hot dogs. Flip on the tube. Look around, see if there's any good horror movies on. Maybe John Carpenter's Vampires is playing late like it did the other night. Nothing, you know. So it's just nothing you can do. Go outside, listen to the frogs, come back in, go, you know, do whatever. Wander around, people see me, think I'm a burglar, call the cops. I get shot on my own front lawn while I'm wearing a bathrobe with nothing on underneath. It's a hell of a way to die. By the way, Pearl Harbor, as I mentioned, I wanted to make this point. Pearl Harbor is a great opportunity for Hollywood to do what you do so well. Why don't you have the Americans win? Okay? Look, since when has the historical fact ever stood in the way? Have us win this time. If we gotta go see freaking bombs, can I see us, like, win one? Win one for the old Gipper? When you guys, of course, now the movie's done, and I understand the way it ends, the Japanese win, and the Arizona Sing. What they could have done is they could have, with all that computer animation, they could have had the Japanese maybe lose this one, and the Arizona gets away, and the war ends in 6 weeks, and I don't know, and Roosevelt's cured of polio. Some stuff that, you can do it now with that digital animation. You can do anything you want. But no, they're not going to do that. Something tells me when I go see that movie, and let me tell you something, we saw the trailers in the movie for Pearl Harbor, the trailers in the movie theater. It really looks terrible in turn. Now, I'm the world's number one war movie fan. I can name war movies going back. Saving Private Ryan, kicked ass, all that stuff. I love it. Even Thin Blue, was it Thin Red Line? Even that, okay. I sat through most of it. And that Full Metal Jacket, if ever a statement was truer, when Lee R. Ermey said on this show, he said that's the best half of a movie ever made. He's right. Full Metal Jacket, the first half of that movie is great. The second half of the movie was directed by Stanley Kubrick. So anyway, I love him, man. But that thing, I saw the trailer for Pearl Harbor. Now, I am not a guy who's all that perceptive. But even I can tell a computer-animated airplane flying across the screen when I see it. And I'm sorry, I can't get past that. My mind can't get past that. Now, Mike, you or Craig made the comment, you couldn't go watch Titanic because you could see. You say that looked fake. See, to me, Titanic looked very good. It looked, it's true to life. Yes, when the people were sliding down the hull of the ship as it was going up in the air, it looked like they were sitting on trash can lids. I understand that. Like, when they were sliding down, it looked like they had little plastic trash can lids that were supporting them as they were going down the hill. I saw things like that. There's a certain amount of disbelief that I had to suspend, but I didn't think really all that much. Mike is like picking up on the smoke from the stacks looked fake. God. And yet you're going to go see Pearl Harbor and go, wow. I bet you will. A Jap Zero. Look, you can even see the Japanese pilot painted in. It's not even a guy. It's this face. It's like a laser controlled, any animation that you've seen on your kid's Sega game or PlayStation is like the Jap face is just. You remember Godzilla? Remember the soldiers in the jeeps as Godzilla stepped on them? Just before he stepped on them. Now the soldiers in the jeeps going down the street, those real guys with real helmets. But just as the foot's going down, all of a sudden they're five little plastic men just. And the squish, that's what it's going to look like in this stupid Pearl Harbor. And they screwed up because in one of the planes, Jar Jar Binks is a pilot. And you can see the face. I'm kidding, of course. And then we have, as I mentioned, Jurassic Park. Then there's Tomb Raider coming out. And I'm going to say something that'll probably get me shot. Angelina Jolie. In other words, it's the breasts. Is that it? Oh, I see. Okay, I'm sorry. Because I was wondering what it was about her that all you these guys think she's so hot. Look at it. I know a beautiful woman as good as the next guy. I probably know a beautiful woman better than the next guy. And I'm telling you, she ain't all that good looking. I don't care what you say, although she does have the large breasts. And let me tell you something else. As far as we're talking about how it is that, the media image gets through our brains and begins to manipulate our neurotransmitters. When I saw Jennifer Lopez in the Academy Awards and everybody said to me, did you see it? You could see her breasts through the top of that dress. Who's looking at her breasts? It's Jennifer Lopez. Do you understand? I got the message. Nikki's roommate did stunts for Tomb Raider?
Yeah, double.
What kind of stunts? Flipping around, okay. Did she do any flipping around in Pearl Harbor? Because they could really... Anyway, Who's looking at? Isn't that true? And I understand what you guys are talking about, but I got so inundated with the message about Jennifer Lopez's rear end that I just, when she walked out, I said, "Oh, look at that dress! It's covering up her rear end. I can't see it. Okay, what's the point? Let's move on to something else. I can't see her ass. Might as well turn it up." And everybody the next day is going, "Why, did you see the top? Man, you could see right through." Jesus, I wouldn't even occur to me to look at her breasts. After all of this crap about her ass, to be looking at her breasts seems either stupid or misguided or, Jennifer Lopez, great breasts, huh? No, you idiot, it's her ass. Oh, yes. Oh, I thought you were talking, no, we weren't talking about that. So there's Henry, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and everybody's talking about that. Hey, by the way, Dr. Doolittle 2, yes, yes. Finally, yes, finally they get it right. Dr. Doolittle 2. We're going to see not one, not two of this. Actually, this will be the third version of it because there was an original with Rex Harrison, which I was taken to see when I was 16. Yeah. My dad, he says, let's go see a movie because my father and mother, you know, tragically were divorced, although I had a lot of fun because I didn't have any parental supervision. So I ran around, you know, and I did stuff, and it sounds bad, and it was bad now in retrospect, but at the time I was having kicks. Smoking cigarettes whenever you want. You can't, you know. So, you know, when my father had custody, the weekend visit thing, he says, well, let's go to a movie now, boys and girls. You know, come on. And let's, you know, he wanted to be a dad. And he wanted to do the right thing. So he said, well, let's go and see a film. I said, that's great, Dad. You know, I'm 16. Let's go see Dr. Doolittle. It's whatever. You know, so I got to sit and I watch, you know, 1 week it was Dr. Doolittle, and I think we saw, Oliver another week, and, you know, anything that with Julie Andrews in it. My father's thinking, you know, I've got to take him to something that's decent because, you know, decent, I'm 16, I could go see The Graduate. I mean, give me a break here. So I saw Dr. Doolittle. There was no purpose in seeing this movie. There was no purpose in making the movie. It's a guy talking to an animal. And, of course, I believe it had the computer-animated mouths in those days. You know how they put a cartoon mouth on an animal and, hi, Phil. It was that kind of crap. Like Mr. Ed. They didn't do that with Mr. Ed. He actually talked. Yeah, I know the horse didn't really talk, but somehow, the way that horse chewed hay, it looked like he was saying, up yours, Wilbur, or something, you know. So they got Scary Movie 2, Dr. Doolittle 2, Rush Hour 2, American Pie 2, Jason X or Friday the 13th Part 10. 10 Friday the 13th movies. 10 of them. They make money and then nobody can remember the plot of any of them. They make just... They must be making dough for these guys. Either that or they're not making any money. And there's a Friday the 13th freak at one of those studios. I know we can do it. Just give me the chance one more time. Oh, would you stop? The movie sucked. No, I know we can because it was so good. The first one was fine, you idiot. There's been 10 of these. Just because your father owns the studio. Let me just try one more. One more? Will that satisfy you one more? One more. Yeah. There's been 9. Number 10. Okay, we'll make number 10. What do you want to call it this time? How about, I got it, Friday the 13th meets Halloween. Michael Myers gets into the wrong movie. Jason visits Halloween. What do you want to do? Anything you want to do? Well, I know we can do it, man. Friday the 13th. I got it. Part 10. There you go. That's it. These freaking guys with that movie. What about Halloween? Even Halloween gave up. Didn't they give up? No, they didn't. Didn't they give up? They would do 6 Halloweens, and that was the end of that. Come on. So, 20-year reunion, yes, of course. H2O, yeah, which everybody said to me, no, it's really good. It really is. So, naturally, I went and saw it because I dig Halloween, and it sucked. Freaking sucked. And yeah, this H2O was really cool. What did you just put on the screen, Mike? I didn't see it. The last Friday the 13th was called The Final Chapter. We ought to sue. We ought to sue until they bleed from every hole for just the whole false advertising thing. Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter. You promised, and now you're taking it back, and now we're going to sue. I know we can do it again. Don't you remember, Eddie, we called the last one The Final Chapter? Well, we can go this Friday the 13th, Part 10. the final chapter, part one. I got it. Okay, it'll be the final chapter, part one, part 10, P.S., it's 10, it's not one. And it'll still blow because Jason hasn't been any good since Betsy Palmer played him.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I'm going to go to phones here, 1-800-449-8686. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, Phil, how are you?
Good.
Mr. Hendry, I wanted to ask you about the little thing you did with Skippy and Frank.
Last hour? Last half hour?
Yes, where you had them strap each other into the electric chair, as I understand it.
That's correct.
And they threw the switch on each other.
I can tell you're going to be angry with me.
No, I just I want to know if I'm following correctly. Did you have two white men put each other in an electric chair and throw the switch?
Yes, I had two white men put each other into the electric chair and throw the switch.
And when they came out of the chair after being cooked, they were black people.
Yes, they were. Is that what's upsetting you?
Can I just, instead of you asking me the questions, can I ask you the questions?
Go ahead.
And after they were cooked in the electric chair, they were now black people.
Yes, ma'am, they were.
And you think that's, you call that satire?
Well, I mean,
making fun of black folks, you call that what you call satire, is that it?
No, that's making fun of the way typical radio comedy deals with something like that. And
the way the typical radio comedy deals with something like that.
Yeah, the ordinary radio show would do something like that. You'd cook a guy until he's black, and then they'd have, hey, Sambo. You know, they'd do the Sambo thing.
Well, you know something? I think that sounds like a pretty good excuse, but you are nothing more than a racist. And the man answering the phone is a racist.
Well, what if the man answering the phone is a racist?
Yes, he is.
What did he do?
He gave me the same gobbledygook about satire. And
okay, so I'm a racist because I had two white guys cook each other in a chair, they come out black, and I'm making fun of the way that a typical...
You expect people to laugh at that?
I expected them to, yeah.
Well, how could they laugh at something that you represent as being typical radio comedy that you don't agree with? Why would they think it's funny then?
I mean, say that again.
You know perfectly well what I said. If you are making fun of that kind of comedy, then you would not expect people to laugh at that. Let me ask you something else.
Well, I mean, he took...
Let me ask you something else. What do you think about Reverend Al Sharpton?
Reverend Al Sharpton, I think, is he's a bit of a clown.
You racist. How do you feel...
Now, wait a second.
How do you feel about Jesse Jackson?
I think he's a little embarrassing.
You racist. How do you feel about Malcolm X?
How do I feel about I admire him.
You a racist. How do you feel...
Now, I'm a racist because I like Malcolm X.
How do you feel about Chris Rock?
Okay, now, which question... Which answer...
Just give me an honest answer.
You promise you're not going to call me a racist?
I swear I won't. I want to know how you feel about Chris Rock.
I like him.
You racist. And
you said you wouldn't call me that.
What do you think about Oprah?
I think she sucks.
Now, that's the first smart thing you said all day. Because she does suck. So, as a result of that, then I can understand where you're coming from.
Now, wait a second. I said that Chris Rock, I like him, I'm a racist. Malcolm X, I like him, I'm a racist. Al Sharpton, I don't like him, I'm a racist. Oprah, I think she sucks, and that's the first smart thing that I've said all day.
Well, it has to be, because everything that I've heard you say up to now has neither been funny nor smart, and I can't imagine you all of a sudden got smarter when you came to work here, so probably at home you're pretty dumb, too. You know, so...
Get out of here! Get out of here? Okay, she's gone. All I said was that we were making fun of the fact that the... what were we doing? I can't remember. I thought the guys coming out black was funny. I think every now and again having a guy pop out black is really funny. Like the time we had Jesus Christ black after he beat up Bruce Springsteen. That's very funny. I can't wait for Jesus to come back, man, and I hope the cat is every bit Red Fox. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Although we're not taking any calls right now, so don't worry about it. So anyway, get back to the rolling blackout, just so you guys know that whoever is listening to me who's dealing with the energy problem, and I just heard that it's an energy problem now that's going across the country, you know, do your part, okay? Don't be a complete and utter selfish moron. Well, go ahead, be a selfish moron. I just have to make this pitch. Because they expect you to make the pitch, you know, do your part, save energy, let's help everybody, and maybe, just maybe, well, I don't know, it won't help. Because we'll still be dependent upon foreign oil. No, but seriously, turn the freaking lights off. If I'm going to lay there and sweat all night long, you're going to do the same thing. I'm not running my air conditioning. Why? So we, as a family, don't have the extra strain and the stress on whatever this system is that they're telling us is overtaxed and overburdened and underwrought and underpaid and underfunded and whatever thing the newspaper prints, I believe, okay? Because I don't have time, frankly, to understand all the permutations and the various aspects to the energy problem. Everybody I talk to, it's always something different. So let's just hope that we get through this thing, because the only thing that I really care about is, you know, heating my pool or something like that, you know. No, but it was really hot, and I was not able to sleep last night, so, you know, if the show dragged today any more than it usually does, you can blame Mike Schaefer, my producer. He should have helped me. What else, man? What else have we not talked about here? Okay, we got, what, 15 precious minutes before we get out of here. What? What can we rap about? Come on, producer, produce! Basketball. Something else, man. I ain't talking about basketball. All right, I got it. How about the Kings last night? Boy, do they suck. See, Los Angeles fancies itself a hockey town to some degree, and it never is, and it never will be, and it has a few Canadians in it, and that's why they sell out the Staples Center. And, of course, every year when the Kings make it into the playoffs, maybe two rounds deep, people will begin to say, how about them Kings, and start to talk about hockey in terms that perhaps maybe they understand it, maybe they get it. The other thing that bothers me about hockey are people that are trying to make it a popular sport. Would you give it up? Would you just stop it? Well, I'm going to turn people onto hockey, man. And then nobody in America will ever follow hockey the way they follow basketball and football. Never. And you guys that are trying to make it a sport that's mainstream or come on out and root the team on and all that stuff, I think the L.A. Kings, the Florida Panthers, any one of these teams that are in a sunshine belt of the state or whatever the hell you want to call it, what do they call it, the Sun Belt, these guys ought to get down on their hands and knees, and whatever else it is they're doing on their hands and knees, they also should thank their lucky stars that anybody shows up for their games, because there's no kid that grows up around here, last I checked, that skates. And unless he wants to go down to the rink and do a little ice skating, like some of them do, most kids, man, out of sight, out of mind, they don't care. So, but every now and again, the thing about the Kings is this. Now, everybody knows that hockey is not a sport that Americans are all that interested in. Everyone knows this. This happens to be common knowledge. Everyone also knows that hockey is never going to be a sport that is all that big. But every now and again, when the Kings get a couple of rounds deep into the playoffs, people get excited. At least around here in L.A. I don't know how it is in your town. And they start talking about hockey and, hey, man, how about that offsides penalty? And nobody can really tell you what offsides is, except for some real dork that follows the game big time. Some real, real, huge hockey dork who follows the game and can tell you what offside is. Great, man. We'll pat you on the head. And here's the Nobel Peace Prize. And then everybody gets their hopes up, and what happens in this town, I don't know about anybody else's town, the Kings eventually fold up and stink. And they've been stinking since 1967, when the league allowed us to have a National Hockey League franchise, which was about as exciting as having, what, somebody put in one of those plastic fans in your office when it's really, hey, I got a fan for you. Oh, that's swell. It's only 106 degrees. Thank you. The Kings getting to L.A., that news was welcomed in much the same way. It's great. Hey, and not only that, we have a National Association of Soccer League, or whatever the hell that thing was. Soccer. Yeah. Great soccer. Yeah, we used to have an NASL league, and there was the MSL, and there's the ASS, and the, you know, SUCK. It was just tremendous having all those leagues here. And so the Kings did what they always do. Last night they lost 5-1. Big seventh game. You were waiting for the big, maybe a moment in time, maybe something that we could all say, hey, this is really going to be something special. Okay, no, it didn't happen that way. They gave up five goals and four goals in the third period. It was all over. Humiliation in what city was it? Denver. Congratulations to the Avalanche. Good job. You guys got a great team. You got a great goalie in Patrick Waugh, and it's spelled R-O-Y. Whatever. Because it's a regional sport, and the reason why it's a regional sport is because it only snows in some part of the United States, okay? But you people that are into hockey, give it up on trying to make it a mainstream sport. Give it up on trying to get me excited about it. Just back off. You know, you're wilting my permanent, man, and I don't want that clam breath on my neck while you're telling me about the Stanley Cup exciting. We don't care. I didn't even know it was called a Stanley Cup. I thought it was something about a stained cup. I didn't know what the hell they meant. And why do I sound bitter? Because they look like they're having so much fun out there on their sticks and their skates or whatever the hell they're called. I wish I knew how to skate. That's why I'm bitter. I never learned how to rollerblade. And I was up last night with one of the kids until 10 o'clock waiting for this miserable game to get over with. Although if you're an Avalanche fan, it's fantastic because I suddenly realized we're on in Denver. I was rooting for the Avalanche all the way, as a matter of fact. If you want to know the honest truth, I think that Patrick and the rest of them are great. Joe Sack something. Nice. Nice work you guys did. 5-1. I think you're going to win the Stanley Cup. You're the best team in the league. Isn't that right? That's what I've been hearing, or whatever the hell that cup's called. If you don't win that, man, I got a cup for you. And as far as you brought up basketball, Mr. Schaefer, as far as you wanted to go down that road, congratulations to the Lakers for winning the National Basketball Association Championship. Oh, you mean it isn't over yet? Well, yes, it is. Congratulations to the Lakers for winning the NBA title. Sacramento is a fait accompli, and of course, I guess it's going to be San Antonio for the Western Championship, and that's swell. And then when they play, whoever they play in the East, who cares? They're in an Eastern team that I even want to look at. I think I'd like to see the Sixers come in here just so that little punk Alvin, what's his name, Alvin the Chipmunk Iverson, just so he gets shut down, because he is a punk. Not that the Lakers don't have their share, okay, but obviously got the basketball team to back up whatever mouth they got. That Alvin, I keep wanting to call him Alvin. I know it's Alan, but I think it's Alvin suits him. Is a twerp. Now, I can say that because he's like 3,000 miles away from me, and what's he going to do, right? Okay, so we've come to the end of another long and just what a struggle of a show this was today. Man! And when you're all alone trying to crank this crap out, and let me underline the word crack. Did I say crap? I meant crack. It's tough. What a struggle. But don't forget, if you'd like to get a tape of this piece of crap, number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD is available. 877-616-7445. 877-616-PHIL. And you can get our CD, actually, which is a collection of some better things that we've done. So thanks a lot. We got a flashback today?
I just want to say that I am an Italian-American.
Here we go.
Can I talk, please?
Go ahead.
I can speak for all Italian-Americans and say that every Italian-American that I know, and I went to an all-Italian school, I grew up in an all-Italian neighborhood, they're all disgusted and ashamed and embarrassed by the mafia. That is nothing that any Italian is proud of, and it's nothing that any Italian...
What about the Italians that are in the mafia? Are they disgusted with it?
But you're saying that all Italians are proud of it, they talk about it at parties, and that they're all connected to it, and that's wrong.
What's too much?
The more you talk, the more ignorant you sound because you have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, that's what you think.
That's what I know. My family is full-blooded Italian. I went to an all-Italian school. I grew up in an all-Italian neighborhood. I only know, of all the people that I've known in the 36 years I've been alive, I know one family.
All right, Mary, can I ask a question?
Certainly.
Did you know any Italians, and you must have in your neighborhood, that owned a barbershop?
No.
You didn't know any Italians that owned, what, did they own a meat cutting or a butcher shop?
No.
Nothing like that.
See, you know what your problem is? You've been in the entertainment industry too long.
I happen to know that Italians
you
have
watched,
barbershops.
I don't give a damn who you know. You ask me who I know. I'm telling you, you ask me who I know.
Well,
no.
Mary doesn't
I
know
do
anybody.
Own,
well, what about... what do you own?
I know Italians that own a restaurant,
uh-huh.
And I know a lot of Italians that are very professional, very wealthy people
All right, Mary,
that have worked hard since the day they got off the boat.
In the restaurants that the Italians you know that they own, don't they have the table in the back, you know?
No, they don't.
Oh, they don't have a lot of fat men sitting around a table
you
in the back?
You watch too many movies. You sound like an idiot.
You watch
more movies than I have time for.
All right, how do you
sound so stupid.
How do you pronounce the following? I'm going to spell this, and if you're really Italian, you'll know how to pronounce this. You ready?
What?
C-A-P-O-C-O-L-O.
Cabagolo.
Oh, she knows how to pronounce it.
Yes, and she said she's Italian.
By the way, it's La Cosa Nostra, not La Cosa Nosa. La Cosa Nostra.
My understanding
was... Just so that you don't sound really stupid.
Well, I'm sorry, but my understanding was it was La Cosa Nosa.
Not
well,
Nosa
not...
Nostra. La Cosa Nostra.
Well, you sure do know a lot about it, Mary, for not knowing anything about it. Boy, you
I am an Italian person. I speak the language. What else do you want me to know?
And doesn't La Cosa Nostra mean the crime organization?
No, it doesn't.
What's
it
mean?
Literally, do you want to know what the literal translation is?
Doesn't it mean criminal club?
No.
No, it means this thing of ours. That's what it means.
What does that mean?
This thing of ours.
It's our
thing. It's whatever the hell this thing is.
It's
you know?
Whatever you want it to be. This thing of ours.
And the only reason why we even... Yeah, okay. So.
And you never knew anybody who had a barbershop with a little button you pushed and a door opened.
No, I never knew anybody who had a barbershop. How many times have you been asked me this?
You know something? I'm a mother of two boys. I'm a very hardworking female
journalist.
I'm sorry
for them because you're racist.
And
you
I'm
know
really, really upset that I'm being laughed at on this national show by a man.
Well, I'm upset that you defended me and my people.
And
it's offending to me.
I love the fact that you've joined in with all the other men that have called to put down a hardworking female journalist.
Oh, I'm sorry for you.
I hope
and
you're
I'm
happy
sorry that I am very happy. It's about time that
Can I ask you a question?
You.
Can I ask
Certainly.
You a question? Because Mr. Henry is not Italian. Isn't this Pavarotti?
No, it's not Pavarotti.
Why?
The more you talk, the more stupid you
it's
sound.
It's a woman. Pavarotti's a guy.
All right, I thought Pavarotti was a woman.
Did you ever see him?
I guess I didn't.
Yeah, he's got a beard.
Thank you very much.
Well, there she goes. She hung up on me.
She's an idiot.
Thank you, Mary. 1-800-449. I thought Pavarotti was a woman. 1-800-449. Will you turn it off? 1-800-44. How do you pronounce Manicotti? And my good Italian buddy Mike Schaefer says Managut. Is that it? What is that Margaret just said? Most Italian women have beards?
Phil